Ramsey TV.
That wonderful person who calls himself Adam loses, which I love that name. He didn't take too kindly with Alan Hess saying that you people just believe your Pope. Whatever your Pope says, whatever your leader says, the Pope being me. He didn't take too kindly to that, and he shouldn't, because he just insulted every single one of you. This is what Adam Loses had to say about that. He says, Alan, you're obsessed with Martin Zender and accuse us all of having no critical thought just because we align with Martin Zender's two gospel view. Perhaps it's because we've also studied the scriptures for ourselves and see the differences between the two gospels. Thank you, Adam Loses. That's right. You are all critical thinkers. The reason I put scripture verses one after another on this show is so you can check the verses. I've told everybody all the time, don't believe me. Check the scriptures for yourselves. Be Bereans. Check it for yourselves. And apparently, some people don't understand that. So they think you're just all clones or robots or something. It's really, really insulting. So, well, Alan owes every one of you an apology, but I'm going to go at least one more day. But this has caused me to think about some things, ask myself some questions that I've never asked myself before. And I really started to think, what's the motivation? By the way, hello everyone, Martin Zender here. Welcome to another edition of MZTV, broadcast from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. Don't worry about me, folks. I can handle this stuff. I don't like it, but it's all part of the gig. So I asked myself, what are the motivations of people who believe there's only one gospel? Which, the more I think about it, is the most absurd viewpoint there is. It's just absurd to try to mix everything the Bible says. And I came up with two things. Actually, I wrote it down on this handy-dandy piece of paper. I think that most people have an Israel fetish. Yes, most people are just obsessed with some of the... I got to be careful how I say this. Some people have an Israel fetish. You heard that right. And they're just... Some people are obsessed with this group of people who are some of the... Oh, stiff-necked, blinded, hard-headed, non-spiritual, dense, dumb, ignorant, self-righteous, nincompoopish people on the planet Earth. I'm not anti-you-know-what. I'm just quoting the scripture. Israel's hard-hearted people, stiff-necked people, and people like Alan and other people are in awe of Israel. Wow. Because I remember Alan saying in one of his videos, you're telling me that I have a better call than Peter, the great apostle? You see, the people who will tenaciously hold to, there's only one message, there's only one message. Grace and law are the same. Heaven and earth are the same. Forgiveness and justification are the same. They're just so intent on it. You have to ask yourself, why? Because it's ridiculous. And it's this thing that, are you telling me I have a better call than the great apostle Peter of the great nation Israel? And not only is that a refusal to believe God, what God says about you, that there is a difference between members of the body of Christ. Oh, and it's not better. That's what I was getting at. We think that our calling is better than Israel's. It's just different. It's different. Israel's going to be completely satisfied with her calling, just as we're going to be completely satisfied with our calling. Nobody's going to be envious of anybody else. Peter was not envious of Paul. Paul was not envious of Peter. They were both mature men. I wish it could be the same today. I wish that these people who are Israel fetishists, I wish they would just grasp onto the Israel stuff. And as Adam Loses said yesterday, leave the grace people alone. Leave us alone. Just like Paul wanted the circumcisionists. Leave my people alone. Go have your Israel fetish. Go practice your law. Go ahead. Beg for forgiveness every day. Carry your cross. If that's your thing, do it. You got an evangel. You have a legitimate evangel that will indulge your Israel fetish. If you're not an actual Israelite, you can be a proselyte of Israel. Go to it. Have at it. Just stay away from us, okay? I mean, we'll give you the right hand of fellowship, all right? Just like Peter gave Paul the right hand of fellowship. Yet at the same time, these contemporaries realized that they each had a different call. Paul had his call. Peter had his call. It's that simple. But you're telling me I have a better call than the great apostle Peter? Oh, you mean the guy who denied the Lord three times? That great guy? That great apostle? The one who walked on the water for 3 seconds until he lost his faith and fell down, go splash? That great apostle? That guy? Anyway, the second reason, I think, is that I believe most of the One Gospel people are in a comfort zone of earth. I think they're literally scared to death of the celestial realm. I think they have an earth fetish. I think they're in love with the planet. I think they don't want to leave here. They want to live on a rejuvenated earth, and they want to live on a happy earth, an earth that's like the Garden of Eden. I mean, it sounds attractive. Who wouldn't? Unless there's a better, not a better, see, I slipped up there. It's a higher calling. Literally, I'm talking about, you know, feet. It's a higher calling to be among the celestials, isn't it? But the thing is, we don't know much about that. That's the scary thing. And when we're in an airplane, we look down, and it's like, oh, I'm in the air. It's a little unnerving. And you look up at the night sky, and you just see blackness, and you see cold, and you see speckles of light called stars. And you think, it doesn't look too inviting up there. Just like the people on the Titanic. Yes, it's just like the people on the Titanic, who, while the boat was sinking, they felt safer on the sinking Titanic than they did being lowered on those rickety lifeboats down the side of the ship, 6 stories or 10 stories, whatever it was, swinging back and forth on ropes as they were lowered toward the North Atlantic, which on that night, April 14th, 1912, was approximately 32 degrees. Yeah, it was at the freezing temperature. So even though the Titanic was sinking, it seemed safer to stay on that ship. Well, the lights were still on for a little while. We still have carpet. We still have cups and saucers, even though they're sliding off the tables. There's still some wine here, and the band played on. It seemed safer to stay on the Titanic. You don't want to go into the unknown. I think that's a big thing with the One Gospel people. They don't want to go to a place that they don't trust God with it. They don't want to go to a place. They don't want to go there, period. They like the earth. They want to be on the earth. So that's my thought on that. Safe and cozy on earth. It's their comfort zone. Now, there's a great verse in 1 Corinthians 11:19, and one of our astute viewers brought this up, and when I read it I went, oh, why didn't I say that on a show? And that's when it's a good thing to know, wait a minute, I'm doing another show tomorrow, I can say it tomorrow. That's a comfort to me most of the time, because after I edit my videos, I watched it, I say, oh, why didn't I say that? Somebody makes a great comment, which all of you do. I have the smartest audience on YouTube, like I said, and you are insulted by Mr. Hess, who claimed I'm your Pope and you just like obey me, listen to me like a bunch of robots. I'm appalled by that statement. Appalled. It was public. It's appalling. And you should be insulted. But at the same time, you exercise grace. Love does not take account of evil. Okay? Just let it slide off you like Teflon. Be at peace. I wish these Israelite people would just go their own way and not mix it up. See, that's anybody who's like Paul or has the spirit of Paul, you can't stand the fact that somebody's honing in on your grace. Somebody's honing in on it with law. Somebody's honing in on it with unearthly expectation. It's like, no, stay away from here. This is not your territory. So you don't like it. You don't get it. You don't get justification. You don't get a celestial destiny. That's fine. Stay with your people. I'm a segregationist when it comes to this. I'm a segregationist, when it comes to grace and law. We will not integrate the two. Whether that's politically correct or not, whether it's spiritually, I know it's spiritually correct. I know it might rub some people the wrong way, but that's my position. And it was also Paul's position, very clear if you read Galatians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 11:19, there must be sects among you, S-E-C-T-S. There must be sects among you, that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent among you. This is a heavy-duty verse. I mean, this is mind-blowing. It really illustrates the sovereignty of God. Paul says there must be these divisions. Some translations say divisions. I think the King James says heresies. That's lame. There must be sects. That is these groups of people that go away, that go off, that cut themselves off and go away into some fantasy land altar doctrine over here. There must be that among you. I mean, we know the world is off, and we know the religious world, the mainstream religious world is off, but Paul is talking to the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And he said, there must be these sects, these divisions among you. There must be. Why, Paul? The answer is startling. That those who are qualified may be becoming apparent among you. A qualified person, a qualified workman, as Paul says to Timothy, be a qualified workman who need not be ashamed, correctly cutting the word of truth. There it is. I'll put the verse down here. Endeavor to be a qualified workman, an unashamed workman, correctly cutting, Concordance says. King James says, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is what these sects and these divisions allow for. They suddenly make those who are qualified, those who have studied, that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent. There it is. Those who are qualified. The sects, that is, the people who cut themselves off and go to another place and gather around another teaching, it allows those who are qualified to become apparent. I feel qualified because I do correctly cut, I rightly divide the word of truth. And rightly dividing the word of truth is not cutting it between the Old and New Testament. It's correctly cutting between the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. You have to segregate law from grace. You have to segregate the terrestrial Jesus from the celestial Christ. You have to segregate the body of Christ from the bride of the Lambkin. You have to segregate justification from forgiveness and a terrestrial destiny from a celestial destiny. That is correctly cutting the word of truth. People who do that are called by Paul qualified. And the fact that these sects exist, they exist for a reason. God put these divisions in there so that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent. It's like, oh, here's somebody. Look, here's somebody who's coming up and explaining to us why the sect exists, explaining to us the error that created the sect. This person is qualified. We wouldn't have known it unless there was an opportunity for it to be shown. And there you have it. There you have it. That's God talking, not me. Okay? And it's not just me either, as far as feeling that this is an opportunity to shine against the error. It's an opportunity not only for me, but for you. For every comment you make against the false teaching of one gospel, for every comment you make, it's a defense of the truth, and you are becoming apparent. You are becoming apparent as one being qualified, as one who rejects the mixing of law and grace, rejects the mixing of Peter and Paul, of James and Paul, of Hebrews, the letter of Hebrews, and Paul's letters to the nations. You reject that because we must keep distinct what God has kept distinct and what God has meant to be kept distinct. This is a beautiful thing. So you can thank God for these sects, for these divisions. Thank God for them because it gives you an opportunity to look good, to show yourself approved, to show yourself a qualified workman who rightly divides or correctly cuts the word of truth. Paul says to the Galatians, Well, it's so humorous in the J.B. Phillips translation. In the concordant version, Galatians 3, Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who bewitches you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was graphically crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you get the Spirit by works of law or by hearing of faith? So foolish are you, undertaking in spirit? Are you now being completed in flesh?" Paul is beside himself. These are rhetorical questions. You began in the spirit and you're now mixing law in with your teaching? But verse 1 is what gets me. O foolish Galatians. The J.B. Phillips translation is beautiful here. It says, "Dear idiots of Galatia." Dear idiots of Galatia. "Who bewitches you?" And I'll tell you who was bewitching them, and you know who it was. It was the circumcisionists. It was the people who came from James, even Peter, who were incensed that Paul and his converts from the nations, the Greeks, were hearing a gospel of transcendent grace that was apart from baptism. That's another thing we have to segregate. Apart from water baptism, apart from repentance, yes, apart from the kind of repentance that was necessary for salvation. Repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. See, we're justified gratuitously. You understand, the body of Christ. Another great difference. We're justified gratuitously through his grace. That is, for no apparent reason. Not because of repentance and not because of baptism. Yes, we change our mind. We repent after we hear about this. In the circumcision gospel, you have to repent first before the blessings can come. With this gospel, the blessings come. And you're overwhelmed by grace, like Paul says. The grace of God overwhelms me. Says that in 1 Timothy. And then on the heels of that, you change your mind. Wow, I guess God does love me. That's repentance. In our gospel, it comes after the gratuity. It has to. If it comes before the gratuity, if the gratuity depends on repentance and baptism, then it's not a gratuity. As Paul says, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little passionate about this, but I'm not sorry. As Paul says, if it's of grace, then it's no longer of law. If it's of law, it's no longer of grace. Hello, duh, who bewitches you? Dear idiots of Galatia, classic profile among you. Think for yourself, you study for yourself, you read the scriptures, you check out the verses, you're a critical thinker. You don't believe somebody because they tell it to you. You don't believe me because I tell it to you. You've come to trust me because you know that I've studied this and I give you the verses. I put all the verses down here. Don't believe me, believe the scriptures. I bring you the proof. I bring you the evidence. I bring you the technicalities out of the Greek language. And I show you that you are on the right track and the Spirit of God is in you and you are hearing the truth and the Spirit corroborates that. In your spirit. The Spirit of God confirms with your spirit that you're children of God. That's a beautiful thing. And I'm just a conductor here, getting everybody together and talking about these things, bringing the presentation so that you can imbibe of it, enjoy it, check it out for yourself, and believe it. But this bewitching, one of our astute viewers says, it's like a witch's pot. What does a witch do when she casts a spell? She puts all kinds of ingredients in a pot and stirs it up. That's just what the one gospel teaching does. It puts everything in the scriptures in one pot. Just put it all in there, mix it up. It's all the same. One big gobbledygook of law and grace, forgiveness and justification, on and on, all the things. Baptism, no baptism, circumcision, no circumcision, Greek, Jew. Mix it all up into an unpalatable mess. Mix it all up, put it in an oven. Put a fork into it, pick it up with a knife, and it tastes like shit. Because that's what it is. Paul is very strong here. Dear idiots of Galatia, who bewitches you? This is a bewitchment. This Israel fetish, this in being in love with the earth, it's a bewitching. It's attractive. You don't want to go in that scary dark place up in the heavens. Even though God says he seats you among the celestials in Christ, no. Even though he says he's going to snatch you away. No. If he does snatch you away, you're coming back down. Don't worry. You can be safe here on earth with Israel. We're going to serve the great people, the great, wonderful Israel people. We're so smart, so intelligent. No, they're so stupid that God is going to have, when Jesus Christ returns, he's just going to ransack their hearts. He's going to ransack, he's going to invade their minds and their hearts and put the word in their hearts, put the law in their hearts, put the law. He's going to change their heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He's going to hijack them, basically. They have to be hijacked to get it. They're not going to get it on their own ever, ever. It's been 2,000 years. They still haven't gotten it. They're walking around in their fancy suits with their nose in the air like they're better than us. You got to be kidding me. Whew. All right. Well, I should say one more thing. I'll mention this tomorrow. There's a paper out by Rick Longva, another individual who has forsaken Paul. Philip Garrison, another individual who has forsaken Paul. Beware of these gentlemen. They wrote a commentary about my 31 points that I bring up in The First Idiot in Heaven. I bring up 31 differences between the two Gospels. And that work is misrepresented by this work, by Rick Longva's work. Misrepresented. And I want to read the first paragraph, which is somewhat comical. And then I'm going to show you how the whole thing goes off the rails. Again, the more these one gospel people talk, the better two gospels looks. And it should look better. But even if it doesn't, it's still the truth.